Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
The School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University features a number of fantastic scholars, men and that know how to teach, and women who are uniquely gifted in scholarship. And today it's our privilege to have Dr. Jason Mastin. He's the HBU Associate Professor of Theology and is the 2021 HBU Piper Professor nominee. Jason began his career in Scotland, and he joined the faculty of HBU in 2015. His primary teaching area is the New Testament. In his classes, he strives to develop independent students who are capable of drawing from the scripture and church history to address contemporary questions. And I imagine they have a lot of questions, don't they, Jason?
They do, yes.
Yeah. So, tell us about yourself. I mean, I've heard about you for ever since I've been at HBU, and I'm delighted to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri.
Wow. I
grew up there and then went to school in Southwest Baptist University in Bolivar, Missouri, down in the corner of the state. Went from there to Southwestern to do my master's degree. And then my wife and I married just before we started seminary. And so after seminary, we moved to Scotland, where I started my PhD studies at Aberdeen University. My supervisor, Francis Watson, transferred employers and took a position at Durham at the end of my first year of my studies. So I transferred my studentship to Durham and finished with a Durham PhD in 2009. So 3 years after I started, I had finished. I taught then for 5 years in Scotland at a small school in the Highlands before coming to HBU. So a little about my family. I've got three kids, boy, girl, boy, and they keep me more than busy and but great kids and a lot of fun. So,
you know, when we use reference Aberdeen or Durham, I mean, I've traveled a lot throughout the UK and obviously know how prestigious those academic institutions are, but a lot of Americans, you know, given the fact that 70% of them don't have a passport, they really don't quite understand what Aberdeen is, what Durham is, and the uniqueness of that kind of scholarly biblical training. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, the European universities have for decades, and obviously they're centuries old, been the leading institutions in research across the spectrum, but particularly in theological research. Aberdeen University, where I started at, is probably most famous for I. Howard Marshall. He was the leading light at Aberdeen and was there for well over 30 years. And it's interesting, what attracted me overseas was when you look at various kind of theological dictionaries, so I think of the Black Series by IVP, when those were in the 90s, so I was doing my undergrad studies in the late 90s and early 2000s, when you thumbed through those, all the authors had their PhDs from overseas, and a vast majority of them, particularly in the Gospels, had them from Aberdeen. So I decided at that point that I needed a British PhD in order to be even a halfway decent New Testament scholar. That's where I had to get my education. The British system is very different than the American system as well, because it's centered around the production of a PhD thesis. In the US system, you take courses, and when you finish your courses, then you write a dissertation. The British model just throws you in at the deep end, and if you can't swim, then you drown, or you hope that somebody pulls you out and tosses you to the shore. Because your focus is simply on producing a PhD thesis that examines one very particular question and explores it in as great a depth as possibly can be done. Both systems have their advantages, and obviously we have faculty on the HBU faculty list that have American PhDs, and they're some of the top scholars in the US and in the world. But that British model, it suited me. I didn't want to be in class anymore. I wanted my chance to try to figure something out for myself, and that model worked. Aberdeen and Durham are the best. When I was there, Durham was the number one rated theological institution in the UK, above Oxford and Cambridge. Wow. So that was really quite spectacular to be with students, other PhD candidates and faculty who are the number one experts in a whole variety of areas throughout the whole world. So,
what was it like for you going from the Midwest to study in Scotland? I mean,
the initial week was complete culture shock. My wife and I were completely unprepared for it. If I'd had my way, we probably would have just come back that first week. the nervousness of it, the uncertainty, there's all the questions when you do a PhD of whether or not you're even capable of doing it. And then you throw in, you're living in a different country that, sure, they speak English, but, and it doesn't sound the same, and they use words different. And you go down the street and you're wondering, what am I supposed to do here? So that first week or so was really difficult, but we came to love it. Scotland is in many ways home for us. That's where our family is now from. All three of my children were born in Scotland. So that's home for them. We have a little placard on our bathroom sink that says, "My heart is in the Highlands." And that's just, we came to love the culture and the people, and there are features about Scotland that we really, really miss. But you just kind of go for it and you live in it, and some people come to love it. Like others, they enjoy their time, but they come back to the US because it's better for them here. But yeah, we just thoroughly loved Scotland.
Dr. Sloan has amassed a real team of scholars in the School of Christian Thought. And again, I think it's one of those mentionables that often people don't realize when you look at Christian universities, even Division I Christian universities, yep. And you zone on in to the theology department and ask that rhetorical question, how many scholars, bona fide scholars, are in their stable? Unfortunately, there's many Christian universities where there's just very few, if any. And no slam on anyone else. But the fact is, when you come to the School of Christian Thought at HBU, you just have this robust cadre of men and women who they have terminal degrees, they've done original research. Now, how important is that, Jason? Because, we're talking today to some pastors who realized they need some more training. And we know there's been a cognitive shift in the culture.
Yeah.
The boom of tech has been so huge in that people now can, with Gen Z 90 million strong and on the device is 5 hours a day. It's not as illiterate of a group of people as in the past, and often misinformation due to the internet, tragically. How important is it to have this kind of group?
I think it's really important to the training of pastors in the future of the church. One thing I'll often ask people is, do you want to study with the people that write the textbooks or the people who just read them? And if you come to HBU, that's what you have. We're the ones writing the textbooks that other universities are using. So why go somewhere else and get it secondhand when you can come to us and actually receive the instruction that, gosh, we're going to produce that in the next textbook that others are going to use. So you have that kind of level of engagement where we can actually speak to students about these issues. But every one of us is also producing the work that is being appraised by the highest of scholars. We're published in the highest international journals that there are, particularly in New Testament, which is where a lot of us specialize. I just got an email today with a table of contents for a top tier journal, and another one of our faculty has an article published there. There are several of us that have articles that will be coming out in the next 6 to 9 months in the highest fields imaginable, published in my next article comes out in a journal that comes out of Germany. So when you come to HBU, you're learning from those of us that are trying to work at the highest levels possible to make sure that all of our work is as widely received and critically assessed by other scholars from all varieties of backgrounds, as well as people who we know something of what it's like to be the pastor, and we want to help the pastor be successful. I think what I would add here is, it's not just that you're learning from the best of scholars, you're learning from people who really care about the church, people who are involved in their own churches, who want to see students thrive in their ministry. We're often asked, why don't we have courses on youth ministry? And my answer back to that is, because if I can teach you to read the Bible right, then you don't need whatever the next youth ministry kind of platform is. Whatever the next solution is to make your church grow, you don't need that, because you've got the Bible and you understand how it works and you understand church history. You understand how to think theologically. And so whatever issue is thrown at you in your church, you have all the resources there to be able to bring them to bear on that question and give an answer that the culture and the people in the pews need to hear. And that's the advantage of studying with us. And as you said, you know, there are other institutions that, you know, it's not to knock on those other institutions that don't have the scholars that we have in terms of publications and things, but it is something you get from HBU that's hard to replicate elsewhere, particularly for institutions our size. D1 schools have lots of people that write and publish, but there are a few schools the size of HBU that have amassed the quality faculty that we have, combined with a love for the church.
Well, one observation about the pandemic has been that, and I think Pew Research and others have asked, you know, this mental health crisis that seems to be spiking out of control, and again, kind of entertainment churches, or what I would call seminar sermons, many are saying that this culture is at a point now that that's not enough. It's like going to a restaurant and having enormous appetite and ordering just a side pasta dish. Weigh in, if you would, about why we need to take people on a cognitive journey in fulfillment of what Jesus said was the greatest commandment there in Deuteronomy 6, to love God with all your mind, as J.P. Moreland said.
Yeah. Whenever I'm asked to write my philosophy of education, it's that passage that I often point to, that the study of scripture in very serious levels, the theological thinking, reading Augustine and Irenaeus and Aquinas and Luther and all these figures, is part of our act of worship. That what we're doing is trying to gain and express ourselves as best we can in all of our failing ways, that we want to love God with our entire being. And the reality is that the questions that society is asking are really complex and really difficult, and they have been throughout all of human history. Our solution now, though, is just the simple, whatever can be said in 140 characters. I think that's still the Twitter range. You know, it's the soundbite, and we all complain about that. I think the reality is that none of us want to stop long enough to actually read something and really ponder it and wrestle with it and let it penetrate who we are. And if we're reading scripture right, that's exactly what it does. It penetrates deep into us and we can't get away from it. And it calls us to be more than what we are and all that. And the difficulty is that just takes a lot of time and effort and energy. There's a reason that the ancients described scholarship as exhausting work, because it wears you out when you're working at it and reading it. I mean, you can see some of the books I've got behind me here, and some of them are easier to read than others. But the ones that are the most difficult, if I really pace myself and work through them, then the benefits can often be really huge for my thinking And then that translates into my sermons and my engagement with students in the classroom, and just the way that I try to even raise my own family to be careful thinkers about who God is and what he's doing for us.
Now, talk to us about the classes that you teach, and then what is available through the School of Christian Thought? Because, I mean, obviously there's a residential component, there's an online component. I think we want to make clear that there's a number of ways to connect, and explain that for us.
Yeah, so my area of expertise is really the New Testament and Second Temple Judaism, so the Jewish world around the time of the New Testament writings. My teaching, oddly enough, has of late been mostly in theology and church history. And so I've been teaching this semester, I'm teaching Trinitarianism, which is about as daunting as it can get, and leaves me often wondering if I've gone the wrong way at the end of class. And so so I'm teaching that. And next semester, I'm teaching Luther, Calvin, and the Reformation, which I'm super excited about because we're just going to spend a lot of the semester reading Luther and trying to make sense of what he's doing. I teach New Testament theology occasionally. I get Paul. I've got Paul this semester as well, which is always a delight since that's where I've done most of my work. So you can see in my own kind of indication there of the breadth of what we do offer. I also oversee our internship courses, which is particularly for our master's level students. HBU offers a wide variety of courses. There's a little bit for everybody in what we teach. And we have the dual modes of both online and residential. I favor residential. You know, I love the classroom. I love the interaction that takes place with students there. And I would always encourage a student to sit in the classroom because it forces you to engage differently in a way that you can't when you're on a screen. But I also know that a lot of students are never going to be able to move to Houston. I've had conversations in the last couple of days with at least three students who are interested in our online master's programs. And they live in different parts. I spoke to somebody from Baltimore and New Jersey yesterday. And they're going to take advantage of the courses that we have at HBU. And that's because what it means for HBU is we have a real national profile where people can get the best of what we have to offer, even if they can't be in the classroom with us. They're still receiving a good deal of what we can offer them through that. And so, yes, we have both of those methods available to people. And they can do full degrees, all the way from our undergraduate to our graduate degrees are offered that way.
And are you teaching undergraduate and graduate courses?
I focus mostly in the undergrad, largely. It's personal. It fits my family life a bit better than that. Our graduate courses are for residential ones. They're taught in the evenings, and so it's a little more complicated with a young family to make that work. I am teaching at the graduate level next semester. I'm teaching New Testament theology, which I'm really, really excited about. And it'll be fantastic. The students are going to come to class representing a various book of the New Testament and have to explain how that book handles a variety of themes and ideas. And so it'll be a lot of discussion and interaction and seeing how the New Testament develops its thoughts about God and humanity and Jesus and salvation and all that. But to your question, yes, mostly undergrad for me. Internships at the graduate level has been my main place for that level of work in recent years.
Aptitudinally, where are the undergraduates at as it relates to coming into theology, New Testament courses, and what are you seeing?
You know, it is true that there's less of a knowledge of the Bible. When I was a kid, everybody knew at least the big stories. Even people who weren't Christians knew maybe a little bit about Moses, or they'd heard something about David and Goliath. We're finding less and less students who have that kind of just basic knowledge of the scriptures, and certainly at a level that they can plot things. I rattled off the other day the minor prophets, and my intro to Bible class just kind of stopped, and man, can you do that again? And it's like, gosh, when I was 10 or 11 years old, that was just something every kid in church had memorized, the order of the books of the Bible. And so we're finding that to be true, that they have less of a kind of detailed knowledge of the scriptures. But what I would say is our undergrads, particularly those studying theology, they're eager and they care and they want to learn, because they realize that there really is a lot at stake. They want to understand so that they can make a difference in the church. It really matters to them that they can be somebody who helps other people. And they're realizing, particularly through their studies, that in order to help people, they're going to have to learn to think better and understand questions better and ask better questions themselves. And so even though if they start at a lower level than maybe previous generations did, many of them want to work hard to attain a level that they know they can be a faithful minister for Christ in the churches that God puts them in.
You know, we don't often equate the words theology with morality or theology with psychology, but in fact, they are inseparable. A man's theology dictates his morality and often his psychology. In past decades, in previous centuries, education was always linked to the study of theology.
Yeah.
Can you just talk about how different this age is than previous ages, and the comfort with morals, which is a future family, a future fidelity and commitment, children that have values, psychology, the ability to have peace, to have direction, to have wisdom, all emanating from theology. How do you take that?
Yeah, there was a day in which theology really did reign and was very important to what people were doing and thinking. That's not the case anymore. A lot of universities don't even have theology departments. Universities in the U.S., across the world, they tend to have that because they recognize that that's part of a university curriculum, is having that as a school or institution within the university. But as we expand and people are less interested in divine things, theology, particularly as an academic subject, just becomes less and less important for people. And I do think that's partly a reflection that universities are not really interested in the formation of a person anymore. It's not about the whole being and developing an individual into a person who is whole and complete in their life, and that they have some understanding of a wide variety of things and draw that together. And so the loss of a wholeness of a person, I think, is reflected partly in that loss of theology as at least a conversation partner in discussions of higher education and higher levels. And that then does affect the way in which we think about morality. I often try to challenge my students to think, are you applying the text to yourself? If we're just reading it, and if we're only trying to understand it as an academic resource, as maybe a history book or something, we're missing what scripture is really driving us to. And that is really a relationship with this God who has loved us in Jesus Christ, and the call to be transformed and changed into the image of Christ. And that's really difficult because it exposes us in all of our weaknesses, and all of our good and bad things are brought to bear in the gospel. And getting people to reflect on that is quite difficult. And then to express to people that your beliefs about God may affect the way in which you actually live and think and make decisions is even more complex. When I'm the center of the universe, or a human being is the center of the universe, things are much easier for us. But when God's the center, that changes the way that we have to look at what's happening around us, and the way in which we evaluate our relationships with other people and the way that we treat them. And those are really difficult and complex things to have to admit that, gosh, I might be wrong about something, that I might not be handling a situation rightly. That humility that's called for is lost in today's world. And it's recovered through theology, but takes a lot of work for people to want to be stretched in that way.
Well, I think it's easy for people to see that a student studying under Dr. Jason Mastin learns how to critically think, and that prepares you for the future. It allows us to get through the smorgasbord of media myths and pundits and all of the contemporary stuff of today, and to develop a deep anchor. And there is an opportunity for you at the HBU School of Christian Thought, which is the stable of incredible scholars like Jason and many others, male and female, gifted by God and studied men and women. Check it out at hbu.edu/sct. Jason, I am so grateful for you. You're a gift to HBU. You're a gift to the students that you not only teach, but that you impart your life to. And we're just so thankful that you're a part of the team. And just say a word of encouragement for people to check out School of Christian Thought. I know there's a lot of pastors. They've kind of done this conference drill, and they're a bit burned out by the level they've been at. I think COVID, too, is maybe a wake-up call to it's time to take the people of God, you know, deeper, to do what Paul told Timothy, to just rightly divide the word of truth and let the word do the work of God. Give them an invitation to School of Christian Thought, will you?
Yeah, I think it can be said that a church is only as theologically literate or as deep in their theological thought as the pastor is. And so in order to take a church further, to help them understand God better, the pastor needs to be trained. And that's what we offer at HBU. We offer a chance for pastors and youth workers and people in nonprofit, Christian nonprofits, or just a lay person to come and think really seriously and hardly about God's word, the God who's revealed to us in scripture, what he's doing, what he's been doing throughout history in his church. And HBU can help people along that path, be challenged, encouraged, critiqued even, to make us all better in our pursuit to worship God and follow Christ as best as we can through the Spirit.
Well said, Jason. Thank you so much for your time today. Blessings.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And keep on keeping on. A lot of people are simply, they're listening and they're learning, and only God knows where they'll go. Who would have ever thought you would have gone from the Midwest to Durham?
And that's right.
Great example, my friend. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. Yeah, good talking with you.
You too.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.